Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is integration of WebSphere Partner Gateway with WebSphere Process Server and WebSphere Message Broker. Today's presenters are Atul Gohead, Sonali Samantaray, and Aichi Boudreau. Atul is the WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 3 team lead, and he has brought with him an in-depth experience of WebSphere Partner Gateway development. His technical leadership has helped various WPG customers in troubleshooting user scenarios and enhanced usability. His expertise also includes grid computing, Java, J2EE, and web development. Sonali has more than 5 years of experience with IBM. She has expertise in product areas like adapters, WebSphere Portal Server, and WebSphere Partner Gateway. She performs the integration testing of WebSphere Partner Gateway with other products such as WebSphere Process Server, WebSphere Message Broker, and WebSphere Transformation Extender. She is certified as IBM DB2 Associate and IBM SOA Associate. Aichi joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway USL2 team in November 2006. She brought experience from AIX and Learn Server Technical Support and AIX IBM Director and Storage Area Network Testing. She is certified as AIX System Administrator, Microsoft Certified Professional Plus Internet, and Red Hat Technician. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Aichi.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for coming to today's technical exchange. The presentation will cover the integration of WebSphere Partner Gateway with WebSphere Process Server and WebSphere Message Broker. In this presentation, we will call WebSphere Partner Gateway WPG, WebSphere Process Server WPS, and WebSphere Message Broker WMB. So we don't have a mouthful the whole time. Okay. So it will be WPG, WPS, and WMB. As a user, you ask this question: why would I bother to have the integration of WPG and WPS, or have integration of WPG and WMB, the message broker? Here are some high-level explanations, and later we will go into details and the implementation. Application developers can use web services to run business documents between WPG and WPS. A web service is an application that conforms with Internet and XML standards, performs a specific task, and is made available to other users over a network. Web services offer advantages as a standard for integration because they are built on popular existing standards. The ability to run business documents between WPG and WPS provides greater flexibility in user configuration. As far as integration of WPG and WMB, WPG enables B2B process integration and data sharing between partners of all types and sizes. While WPG provides a powerful runtime environment to handle documents between business partners, it has some limitations such as data access. This data access feature is not available for out-of-box WPG, even though you can accomplish it through user access. WMB, the message broker, provides a function that WPG does not have, so integrating the two can help facilitate business integration. Now let's move on to slide number 2. I believe most of the participants on this technical exchange with strong WPG background. So we decided to just give a very brief overview of WPG because we do have a lot to cover. And we're going to instead put our focus on WPS and WMB. We'll be talking about product overview, and integration scenario and advantages of WPT with those two other products. And then we will have summary. Let's move on to slide number 3. We will start with the brief overview. Let's go to slide number 4. WPG is a robust, scalable platform for managing B2B communication. It's an integral part of the WSPS service-oriented architecture, the SOA, and business process management and connectivity portfolio of products. WPG enables participation in SOA implementation and allows companies to integrate their trading partners within their business process management implementations. And through the use of back-end systems such as WPS and WMB or WSPS interchange server, business information contained in the exchange documents is easily integrated with business critical applications. Let's move to slide number 5. We thought this architectural overview can kind of help you to understand later how WPG integrates with the other two products. This slide shows the high-level architecture and high-level view of the document flow through the WPG Hub components. There are three major WPG components: Receiver, Doc Manager, and Console. Receiver is a front end to WPG. It accepts and stores documents from partners or back-end system for further processing. And Doc Manager retrieves store data, processes, and routes it to both partners and enterprise application. And Console is for you to manage to create and maintain. This is basically the system admin type of thing you would do with Console. And another thing is there's a database. It's used to store hub configuration data, metadata, document status, activity logs, temporary store, and other information. Please note that WPG is a loosely coupled component architecture, which enables very high scalability and high availability topologies. WPG can be used alone or to provide business-to-business connectivity to a partner, or like demonstrated in this presentation, you might also choose to deploy it with other WSPS business integration offering to provide tighter integration with your enterprise application. Let's move on to slide number 6. On this slide, just for completeness purpose, we put the new features in WPG version 6.2. We're not going to spend very much time here, but we just want you to have this information on the slide before we move forward to overview of the other two products. On slide number 7.
This is Atul from Level 3 Support. I would now go through the product overview of the WSPS Process Server, the WPS, and touch upon the integration scenarios of WPG and WPS and look into the advantages of doing this integration. Before we actually walk through the integration scenarios, we would definitely like to take a look on the overview of the process server and the WSPS integration developer to understand the planning steps required for integration of WPG and WPS. We can now move on to slide number 8. The WSPS process server is built on open standards and it deploys and executes the processes that orchestrate. The WSPS process server executes these processes so as to orchestrate the services, which includes people, information, systems, and the trading partners within service-oriented architecture or non-SOA infrastructure. Basically, it is a business process automation engine to help form processes that meet business goals. It helps in automating complicated processes that can span over people, partners, and other systems. It enables the flexible business processes with reusable assets, reducing the need to hard code changes across multiple applications. WPS also enables sharing of core applications across the enterprise to maximize resources and increase the rate of the returns on investment. It accelerates the time to value through rapid change and reconfiguring of existing IT assets. WPS also has strong support for human workflow so as to provide the business agility. Moving on to slide number 9. On this slide, we have listed the newer features of WPS 6.2, which include enhanced flexibility and control over business process instances, ability to influence runtime business process execution in response to changing business needs, and it has enhancements that facilitate faster and more effective development, testing, deployment, and execution of business process solutions. The WebSphere Process Server 6.2 also includes support for SOAP 1.2 and WebSphere Application Server Web Services Feature Pack. Moving on to slide 10. Along with the WebSphere Process Server, there is another integration product which is called as WebSphere Integration Developer, which essentially is an Eclipse-based authoring environment that simplifies the integration and accelerates the solution development. It also has enhanced mediation tooling support. The usage of WebSphere Integration Developer, also called as WIDVID, is essentially in construction of processes and integration solutions using intuitive drag-and-drop technology to visually define the sequence and flow of business processes. It allows us to integrate and perform testing, debug, and deployment for the solution development artifacts. The WIT also supports generation of human interaction user interfaces that can be later on easily customized. Moving on to slide 11, WIT 6.2 is used as the application development environment for WPS 6.2 and WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, which is also called as WESB version 6.2. Now, WIT would essentially be used to create a SCA application so as to enable integration with WPG. The enhancements in WIT version 6.2 release include support for Eclipse version 3.4, support for the WAS Web Services Feature Pack and SOAP 1.2, enhancements to the process editor and human task editor to support WPS version 6.2 web services BPEL constructs, a new business calendar editor for the business calendar construct which is supported by WPS version 6.2. We would now check on to the planning steps for integration of WPG and WPS. Moving on slide 12, the planning steps require us to have a supported version of WID installed. WID can be installed on WAS 6.1 or in one or more instances of WAS ND 6.1. During installation of WID, the installer itself installs the supported WPS and the WAS ND components. The other part of the planning preparation is to install WPG, which internally creates separate WAS profiles for each of the WPG components. These profiles are to be exclusively used by WPG only, and the WPS servers would not get really deployed on these profiles. The following message transports are supported by WPS. It's JMS, HTTPS, SOAP over HTTP, and file system. However, we would now look at the integration scenarios using JMS and SOAP HTTP. Moving on to slide 13. On this slide are outlined the tasks that need to be performed to configure the Vesphere Partner Gateway WPG Hub so that you can send documents to and receive documents from WPG. The first of the steps is to create a transport-specific receiver on the hub, which could either be a JMS or could be an HTTP, as we would see in the scenarios later on. Then create an internal partner profile if one already doesn't exist, and include a transport-specific destination that WPG would use to send documents to WPS. We then need to create an external partner profile, including the transport-specific destinations that get used to send the documents to the partners. In WPG, we can import the WSDL files, which is the Web Services Definition Language files, the transformation maps, the any other packagings that are required, either for RNF flow or other document definitions, so as to configure the document flow within WPG. We then need to create the appropriate integrations between the types of document the hub will receive from WPS or from an external partner, and the types of document the hub will send either to the external partner or to the WPS. We then need to create the B2B capabilities in the profiles of the internal partner and external partners to indicate that these types of documents can be sent or received by the respective partners. We then need to finally create a partner connection between the internal partner and external partner to indicate who is the source partner, the sender of the document, and who is the target partner, the recipient of the document. We would also need to configure the action that the hub should take, if any, to transform the document as required. Moving on to slide 14, we would now see on the steps that are required to be performed on the WebSphere Integration Developer, the WIT side. The first step is essentially to create a module using the WIT. Once the module is ready, we need to create the components and specify an interface for the component. We then need to specify the implementation for this component, which is a, and then compose the application using the assembly editor of WIT. We also need to create an export binding for this particular component so as to allow WPG to send a document to the service, or create an import binding to allow WPS to send a document to WPG. When all of this is finished, assembling of the components, then the module is ready to be deployed, and that needs to be deployed onto the WPS. Moving on to slide 15, this slide provides a graphical representation of the WPG and WPS integration components. The integration shown here is for a WPG outbound document, wherein the WPG document manager communicates with the export binding created for WPS service. The service component interface has an implementation defined in WPS so as to invoke the specified service. Moving on to slide 16. This slide shows a graphical representation of the WPG and WPS integration components for a WPG inbound document, wherein the WPS service communicates through the service component import binding to the WPG receiver. We would now move to the integration scenarios of WPG and WPS. Moving on slide 17. Now that we have looked on the overview of WPS with and also know a bit of WPG, we have next in our agenda to go through the actual integration scenario of WPG and WPS. On slide 18, we have listed the integration scenarios that we are going to cover in this session. The first integration scenario that we would take would be for the specific transport type of using web service, wherein we have two scenarios. One, which talks about a WPS outbound document to a WPG inbound document, and second one, which talks about a WPG outbound document being sent as a WPS inbound document. The second set of scenarios what we see are basically using the transport type of JMS. And essentially, what JMS2, we would see the WPS outbound and a WPG outbound document scenario. Moving on to slide 19. We would now talk of the integration scenarios via web services. In these scenarios, using of web services, a SOAP client within WPG invokes a web service that is hosted on WPS. The web service hosting is necessarily outside of WPG, meaning to say that the web service cannot be hosted within WPG. These scenarios can be used to route a document between WPG and WPS. Moving on to slide 20. This slide shows the graphical representation of the components involved for a web service inbound integration scenario. As depicted, the business flow starts from the external community participant. The external participant's web service can invoke a WPG HTTP receiver. WPG supports the pass-through action on participant channel and routes this business document to an internal partner who has a HTTP destination configured. This HTTP destination essentially points to the WPS hosted web service. The SOAP client within WPG invokes this web service hosted on WPS through the web service export binding. Moving on to slide 21. This graphical representation shows the components involved for a web service outbound integration scenario. The business flow herein starts from the WPS web service. The web service invokes a WPG HTTP receiver, which in turn passes the document through the various WPG workflows and finally to the WPG document manager. The WPG supports a pass-through action on the participant channel, and the document is finally routed to an external partner who has a destination configured. This external partner's HTTP destination essentially has the URL for the hosted web service of the external partner, or it could either be a direct HTTP URL for the external partner. Now we would move on to slide 19 to check out the integration scenarios with JMS. In the integration scenario of WPG and WPS, the JMS import and export bindings are to be used. The SCA components essentially communicate with a common JMS queue that is configured and defined in import bindings and the export bindings. We would see the specific scenarios as for web services in the next slides. Moving on to slide 23. This slide shows the graphical representation of the components involved for a JMS inbound integration scenario. The business flow here starts from the internal community participant. The process server SCA component communicates with the JMS queue defined in the JMS import bindings and places the message onto the queue. A JMS receiver is configured in WPG to pick up the same message from the JMS queue, and WPG processes this message. This message is in turn sent to the external partner which uses a JMS destination. WPG performs the required packaging of the messages, as in if the protocol definition and the packaging definition is for RNIF or an AS document, this packaging happens before placing the document onto the JMS destination of the external partner. Moving on to slide number 24, we would now see the JMS outbound integration scenario. As depicted, the business flow starts from the external community participant. A JMS receiver is configured within WPG to process the message. WPG, after processing the message, sends it on to a JMS destination, which is configured to place the message on the JMS queue. The SCA component in the WPS is configured to listen to the JMS queue, as is defined in the JMS export bindings. This message is picked up from the JMS queue for the WPS service to perform further processing. We will now move on to the next point in our agenda on slide 25. We would now take a look at the advantages of integration of WPG and WPS. Moving on slide 26, we have the advantages listed out. The foremost advantage is to leverage the capability provided by WPS in terms of process choreography for the participating trading partners in WPG Hub. This capability is essentially a very valid scenario wherein WPG participants can extend their business processes and leverage the choreography and achieve an end-to-end business integration flow. The second advantage is to provide an option for heterogeneous integration across businesses which may be using either WPG or WPS. This integration, what we saw on WPG and WPS, is based on widely used standards of JMS and web services specifications, which definitely help in doing an open integration across businesses and products. I would now hand over this presentation to go through the WMB integration scenarios to my colleague Sonali.
Thanks, Atul. Hello, everyone. I'm Sonali Samantre, and I will take you through the section that focuses on integration of WPG with WMB. Moving on to slide number 27. Before moving further on our agenda, I will give a brief on why application integration is required. Application integration at a high level refers to solutions that are implemented to integrate software applications within and between organizations. Historically, application integration has been concerned with the integration of legacy software applications, such as between different departments and divisions within companies or new acquisitions. Within an organization, these applications often vary considerably across departments, exist on different platforms, are written in different programming languages, and use different data formats. Integrating the applications is a more practical and cost-effective solution than the alternative of rewriting the existing applications. Application integration is a big challenge for enterprises, and IBM provides a number of software solutions and offerings to assist companies with integrating their applications. WebSphere Message Broker is an important part of the IBM offerings. Okay, let's move on to slide number 28. This slide is an introductory slide which gives a brief overview of WMB and its key capabilities. WMB is used in the implementation of an application integration architecture because it enhances the flow and distribution of information by enabling the transformation and intelligent routing of messages without the need to change either the applications that are generating the messages or the applications that are consuming them. In WebSphere Message Broker, connectivity is provided by applications that communicate by sending and receiving messages. WMB is a powerful information broker that allows both business data and information in the form of messages to flow between disparate applications and across multiple hardware and software platforms. The primary capabilities of WMB are message routing, message transformation, message enrichment, and publish-subscribe. Together, these capabilities make WMB a powerful tool for business integration. Message routing can be simple point-to-point routing, or it can be based on matching the content of the message to business rules defined to the broker. Transformation and enrichment of in-flight messages is an important capability of WMB and allows for business integration without the need for any additional logic in the applications themselves. Publish-subscribe provides an alternative style of messaging in which messages are sent to all applications that have subscribed to a particular topic. Moving on to slide number 29. WMB is comprised of two principal parts. First one is the development environment, which is used for the creation of message flows, message sets, and other message flow application resources. Second is the runtime environment, which contains the components for running those message flow applications that are created in the development environment. Moving on to slide number 30. Now, what are message flows? Message flows are programs that provide the logic that the broker uses to process messages from business applications and are created by connecting nodes together, with each node providing some basic logic. A selection of built-in nodes is provided with WMB for performing particular tasks. This task can be combined to perform complex manipulations and transformations of messages. A choice of methods is available for defining the logic in the message flow to transform data. Depending on the different types of data or the skills of the message flow application developer, the options available are ESQL, Java, and XSLT. The nodes in the message flow define the source and the target transports of the message. Any transformations and manipulations based on the business data and any interactions with other systems such as databases and files. Okay, moving on to slide number 31. Here is how we define a message set. A message set is a definition of the structure of the messages that are processed by the message flows in the broker. In order for a message flow to be able to manipulate or transform a message, the broker must know the structure of the message. The definition of a message can be used to verify message structure and to assist with the construction of message flows and mappings in the message broker's toolkit. Message sets are compiled for deployment to a broker as a message dictionary, which provides a reference for the message flows to verify the structure of messages as they flow through the broker. Moving on to slide number 32. This slide talks about the broker in the runtime environment. The broker is a set of application processes that host and run message flows. When a message arrives at the broker from a business application, the broker processes the message before passing it on to one or more other business applications. The broker routes, transforms, and manipulates messages according to the logic that is defined in their message flow applications. A broker uses WebSphereMQ as a transport mechanism both to communicate with the configuration manager from which it receives configuration information and to communicate with any other brokers to which it is associated. Each broker has a database in which it stores the information that it needs to process messages at runtime. I am on slide number 33. Now, what are execution groups? Execution groups enable message flows within the broker to be grouped together. Each broker contains a default execution group. Each execution group is a separate operating system process, and therefore the contents of an execution group remain separate from the contents of other execution groups within the same broker. Message flow applications are deployed to a specific execution group. To enhance performance, the same message flows and message sets can be running in different execution groups. Moving on to slide number 34. Slide number 34 talks about the configuration manager. It is the interface between the message broker's toolkit and the brokers in the broker domain. It stores configuration details for the broker domain in an internal repository, providing a central store for resources in the broker domain, and is responsible for deploying message flow applications to the brokers. The configuration manager also reports back on the progress of the deployment and on the status of the broker, which is derived from the configuration information stored in the configuration manager's internal repository. Moving on to slide number 35. Brokers are grouped together in broker domains. The brokers in a single broker domain share a common configuration that is defined in the configuration manager. A broker domain contains one or more brokers and a single configuration manager. It can also contain a username server, which is an optional component that is required only when publish or subscribe message flow applications are running, and where extra security is required for applications to be able to publish or subscribe to topics. The components in a broker domain can exist on multiple machines and operating systems and are connected together with WebSphere MQ channels. Please note that a broker belongs to only one broker domain. I'm on slide number 36. The Message Brokers Toolkit comprises a collection of perspectives. A perspective, the full workbench window, is a collection of views that can be moved and resized. The first time that the Message Brokers Toolkit is open, the broker application development perspective is displayed. This slide contains the procedure for opening a perspective. Moving on to slide number 37. This slide lists the different perspectives present in MB Toolkit. I would like to highlight the two perspectives that are more important. One is the broker application development perspective, and the other one is broker administrative perspective. The broker application development perspective is used to design and develop message flows and message sets. It contains editors that create message flows, create transformation codes such as ESQL, and define messages. The broker administration perspective is used for the administration of any broker domains that are defined. This perspective is also used for the deployment of message flows and message sets to brokers in the defined broker domains. Moving on to slide number 38. A message flow application is a program that processes messages in the broker. Message flow applications can transform messages between different formats, generate new messages based on other messages, and route messages according to the message's content or according to how the message flow is configured. When a message flow gets a message, the input node, for example, an MQ input node, parses the message into the message's logical tree structure. Part of this tree structure is the message tree, which contains the message properties, the message headers, and the message body. The body of the message is a hierarchical tree of elements or message fields. The message flow can interpret the hierarchy of elements in the message body only if the input node has been configured to use the correct parser. If the input node is not correctly configured, the message body is treated as a binary large object. Moving on to slide number 39. This section will help us get started with WMB. There are 5 slides to cover this section. The first and foremost thing is to ensure that the broker and the configuration manager are running. The next step in sequence is to start the broker using the MB command console and then to start the configuration manager. I have provided the commands for this in the slide. I am on slide number 40. This slide talks about creating a message flow. Each message flow is stored in a message flow file with extension .msgflow. The message flow file is in turn stored in a message flow project. When you have created the files that contain the message flow, add, connect, and configure the message flow nodes in the message flow editor. Deploy the message flow to the broker so that you can test it. The sequence of steps to create a message flow is, first, ensure that you're working in the broker application development perspective. Then, in the broker application development perspective, create a message flow project, and then create the simple message flow in the message flow project. Moving on to slide number 41. Once we have created a message flow, we need to add and connect the nodes in the message flow editor. The figure in the slide shows how the ESQL simple message flow looks in the message flow editor. You can select nodes from the node palette and drop it in the canvas, and then a connection can be created from MQ input node to the compute node and from compute node to the MQ output node. Moving on to slide number 42. This slide basically explains a simple message flow. ESQL Simple In is the MQ input node which will be associated with the MQ queue from which the MQ input node will get messages. It is very important to provide a dead letter queue for the input node to ensure in case of any failure, the message is not stuck in the input queue, thus blocking any subsequent messages that are put on the queue. Compute node defines how the input messages should be processed. After the compute node has processed the message, the ESQL Simple Out MQ output node puts the output message on a WebSphere MQ local queue. WebSphere MQ objects are not administered from within the message broker's toolkit. WebSphere MQ is a must to create the WebSphere MQ local queues. I am on slide number 43, which is the last slide for the section Getting Started with WMB. ESQL is based on structured query language, which is commonly used to query relational databases like DB2 Universal Database. All of the ESQL that belongs to a message flow is stored by default in a single file. The ESQL file does not already exist, so the Message Broker's toolkit creates the file in the Message Flow project. When the ESQL file is created, it automatically opens in the ESQL editor and already contains the minimum ESQL that is needed for the compute node to successfully validate. You can add your implementation here. Before you can test the ESQL simple message flow, you must deploy it to the broker. Then, when you put the test input message on the ESQL simple in queue, the broker processes the message using the deployed message flow. I'm on slide number 45. Before moving on further, here are the generic checkpoints for planning for the integration with WMB. First and foremost thing is to confirm that you have a supported version of WMB installed and available for WPG. WMB 6.1 is the supported version for WPG version 6.2. Second, decide on the business protocol of the WMB document. The business protocol of your message determines the format of the document. Third is deciding on the packaging type. The packaging type determines the format in which WPG sends the message to the backend system and the format in which the backend system sends the message to WPG. Not all packaging types are valid when you use WPG for integration with WMB. For this integration scenario, only NUN packaging and backend packaging are supported. Moving on to slide number 46. Two message transport protocols are supported by WMB. HTTP transport protocol, including web services, and JMS transport protocol. Support for this message transport protocol requires the installation and configuration of IBM WebSphere MQ. Message broker uses the HTTP transport protocol for its web services transactions. WPG supports both asynchronous and synchronous interactions with message broker over HTTP. Message broker uses the JMS transport protocol for most of its transactions. To send and receive documents between WPG and message broker over the JMS transport protocol, you must use JMS queues. If these two components reside on different computers, you must create the JMS queues on each computer. Note, WPG supports only asynchronous interactions with message broker over JMS. Next step is to configure WPG for the transactions like creating partners, destinations, receiver, document definitions, enabling B2B capabilities, and partner connections, and then configuring MB and creating a message flow application. This will also include deploying and preparing the runtime environment for the transaction. I am on slide number 47. These are the two integration scenarios we will be discussing in the next slide. First one, WMB outbound to WPG inbound. Second, WPG outbound to WMB inbound. I am on slide number 48. This slide shows a pictorial representation of the first integration scenario, which is WPG outbound to WPMB inbound. Now, how documents are sent over the JMS transport? For WPG to send a document to message broker using the JMS transport protocol, you use the JMS queues. WPG sends a document to its JMS output queue, where it is transferred to the JMS input queue on which message broker listens. When message broker receives a document, it retrieves it from its input queue. Message broker's message flow contains special WebSphere MQ JMS transport nodes which handle access to the JMS queues. Moving on to slide number 49. This slide gives the steps for the integration scenario 1 as discussed in the previous slide. Step 1. WPG posts a message to its JMS output queue. Within WPG, you must configure a destination that identifies the JMS output queue to which WPG sends the message and on which message broker is polling. Step 2. WebSphere MQ transfers the document from the output queue on the computer where WPG resides to the input queue that message broker is polling. Step 3. When message broker sees a message on its input queue, it retrieves the message and sends it to the appropriate message flow. Step 4. The MQ input node sends the document to the next node of the message flow. This node is typically a compute node. Step 5. The nodes of the message flow perform the business logic. When business logic is complete, the message flow sends the resulting document to its MQ output node. Step 6. The MQ output node sends the document to the appropriate queue. Moving on to slide number 50. This slide gives a pictorial representation of the integration scenario 2, which is WMB outbound to WPG inbound. For WPG to receive a document from message broker over the JMS transport protocol, you use JMS queues. Message broker sends a document to its JMS output queue, where it is transferred to the JMS input queue on which WPG listens. When WPG receives a document, it retrieves it from its input queue. Moving on to slide number 51. This slide and the next slide gives the steps for the integration scenario 2 as discussed in the previous slide. Step 1. The message flow within message broker receives a document in its MQ input node. The message flow receives its incoming message from a JMS input queue. Step 2. The MQ input queue of the message flow receives the document and sends it to the next node of the message flow. This node is typically a compute node. Step 3. The nodes of the message flow perform the business logic. When business logic is complete, the message flow sends the resulting document to its MQ output node. Moving on to slide number 52. Step 4. The MQ output node sends the document to the appropriate JMS output queue. Step 5. WebSphere MQ transfers the document from the queue on the computer where message broker resides to the queue that WPG is polling. Step 6. WPG receives the message from its JMS input queue as configured in its receiver. I'm on slide number 53. Next on agenda, we will discuss the advantages of the integration of WPG and WMB. Moving on to slide number 54. The major advantages we achieve by integrating WPG and WMB are: A. Leverage capability provided by WMB in terms of pre-built mediation, complex transformation, and extensive transactional support for the participating trading partners in the WebSphere Partner Gateway Hub. B. provide option for heterogeneous integration across businesses using WPG and WMB. C, integration based on widely used standard JMS specifications. I'm on slide number 55. We have reached the summary section of this session. I'm on slide number 56. These are the topics we discussed in today's WST session. Brief overview and architecture of WPG version 6.2, product overview of WPS version 6.2, WebSphere Integration Developer version 6.2, and WMB version 6.1. Integration scenarios of WPG with WPS and WMB. We hope the presentation has given you a solid understanding of WPG, WPS, and WMB and how you can integrate them and benefit from the integration in your business environment. This concludes my presentation. However, in the next slide, I have some additional WebSphere product resources for you. I'm on slide 57. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts like the one you attended today and access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Now, I'm going to turn on the microphone to our moderator, Joseph. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Atul, Sonali, and IG for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Belle Fawn. Your line is open.
Yes. Actually, I have like a lot of questions, but my first question is it a true statement that WPG version 6.2 cannot support web service interface without WPS or WID or WMB?
Yeah, this is Atul here. I would take down that question. It's essentially for accessing the web service, there is a SOAP client inbuilt within WPG. So accessing a service as such doesn't require to have a WPS or WebSphere integration developer. Just having a WPG and configuring the WPG so as to invoke that particular web service should be good enough. Does this answer you?
So just need to have WPG configuration to invoke the web service, so I don't have to have any WPS, WID, or WMB?
Yeah, that's correct. We would essentially require to have an HTTP destination, which essentially points to the web service URL, the web service endpoint that needs to be invoked, and there is an inbuilt SOAP client within WPG, which would be able to post this web service, post the message to this web service. So essentially, we do not require to have either of WPS, WID, or WMB.
How does WPG handle SOAP with attachment with version 6.2?
For requests that come with SOAP with attachment,
right,
as long as there is no action involved with the attachment, a pass-through action, the same SOAP request does get processed through WPG. However, there is no support for performing any additional transformation on these attachments.
So it's just like a pass-through. There's no...
Right.
Okay.
Right. So essentially WPG in that scenario would essentially be a pass-through hub without performing any specific actions on the web service or the message body or the attachment body, but it would be able to process it out to the end destinations.
Okay. How do we install WPS if we already have WPG 6.2 exist?
In one way, we can have WPS installed on another on its own profile within the VAS ND, and this WPS would essentially run its own profile, and WPG components run on their own profiles.
Can we take an inbound web service SOAP message and send it to outbound partner using a different protocol, not like a web service, a different protocol?
Yes, we can do that, provided, I think in one of our scenarios we said that the end destination which is configured, that can be either a JMS destination or for that matter any other file destination too. So the recipient would, in this case, would be an HTTP receiver configured in WPG, wherein the web service, the external web service request comes in. And however, after processing in the WPG, maybe we can send that request back to the backend on a different, altogether different destination, which need not necessarily be an HTTP destination.
Thank you. Our next question is from Rami Reddy. Your line is open.
This is Rami here. I have a question on message broker integration with WebScape Partner Gateway. I believe Sonali can help us, right? The question is like this. We are running a WPG 6.2 and integrating with the message broker version 7. Okay, as per your slide number 49, you're saying WebSphere MQ transfers the document from output queue onto the computer where WPG resides on the input queue the message broker is polling. So what I understand is from the slide, you're saying that from the process server and the message broker, we need to create a JMS queue on both the systems. So we have two independent systems, like Partner Gateway and Message Broker, running on two different servers. And we are creating an input queue on the JMS side. So do we need to really have an MQ, or it's an internal JMS that we need to use to create the queue?
Right, this is Sonali here. That's a good question, Rami. Actually, we have a common queue which we use, you know, for both where WPG listens to or WMB polls to. I mean, that's a common JMS queue. And WPG version 6.2, as of today, we are claiming support officially on WMB 6.1.
What does it mean? Like, we end with IBM, and IBM said that go with the version 7 of MB. Version 7 of MB doesn't have most of the component we explained today because the whole landscape of the product has been changed, like the configuration manager and all those parts are not there. And assuming we don't also have an MQ 7 installed, so we have a WPG and a cross-partner gateway and a message broker in a high availability scenario for a production environment. So what will be your suggestion to have a JMS in a highly available mode? Or do we need to have an MQ and that to be in a cluster? I'm not coming very clear how to integrate and make sure that it's highly available and load balanced.
Right. We need to have, my suggestion is to have a WebSphere MQ because it's a must to create the queues and have this integration in place.
So none of your scenario talks about that, right?
Yeah, it's the external MQ which we use.
Yeah, exactly. So none of your scenario talks about that. See, there are two ways to integrate Partner Gateway. One is through the JMS, whatever you explained today, and there is another way through an external MQ. That's what I understand from IBM website or kind of information that I gathered. So you mean to say that for a direct integration from partner gateway to MB, do we really need a MQ? This is the first question. If not, this whatever I'm asking is for a high availability scenario for a production. So do we need to have an external MQ? Then what is the purpose of having a direct queues, that is a JMS queues, between these two systems?
Having JMS queues, what I would say, is mandatory. And having a high availability scenario, which I think was not in the scope of this presentation, I think you have to go with a clustered setup.
Clustered of what? That's what what we were thinking. We were having one more call with IBM too, actually. So even I want to just to make sure, reconfirm the thing that our understanding is like this. We have a partner gateway and we have a message broker. We have two ways to integrate. One is through JMS integration and through MQ integration. And message broker by itself has an MQ. It's a binded product, right? Do you want us to use the same MQ or do you want to have an external MQ again that is not part of this message broker MQ?
Hello, Rami. This is Atul here. Just to add on to what Sonali said, yeah, definitely there are two ways of doing it. Either we can host the common queue onto an external MQ if it is an available product as such, whether it is 7.0 or whether it is 6.1, that is different case for the version supported. But from the integration scenario point of view, either we can use the platform messaging, which comes along with WAS, to host the queue, and which can be looked up and communicated through that. Or if we have an MB, which internally comes with MQ, and we configure an MQ there, so that becomes an external MQ lookup for us. But what we're trying to say here is the MQ7 and the MQ6.1, those has some kind of an added enhancements which has gone in MQ7. So for WPG 6.2 working with MQ7.0, those kind of support is not yet claimed for WPG 6.2. So that's the reason what we are trying to say here is, in one possible way would be to host the common queue onto either the integral the platform messaging support what we have on WAS ND.
That 6.2, that the JMS queue will not be supported with the MQ7 queue. Is that what we are trying to say?
This is Atul here. I'll take that, Rami. So essentially, what we are trying to say is WPG internally has a client which connects to this JMS queues. So this client has to be interoperable with MQ7.0 as well as MQ6.1. So what we are trying to tell you here is this client is what we have tested and certified, and we support it for MQ6.1, but it's not claimed support for MQ7.0.
So in that scenario, I need to create a separate queue in MQ, and then I have to point this JMS to that queue.
That's right, correct.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
Bell, your line is open.
Okay. I have a few more questions, but hopefully it won't take long. The next question is, can WPG by itself with a WAS host a web service?
Yeah, WPG by itself cannot host a web service, as in the WPG components by themselves cannot become an host for web service. So what we need to do is we need to have an web services created and hosted separately outside of WPG. So the hosting of web service, that could be either in a separate deployment or it would be in a separate application altogether, but it doesn't fall into the purview of the WPG provided servers of the VAST ND servers. Because as you said that the WPG, when it gets installed, there are specific VAST profile which gets created, and this profile is exclusively used only by the WPG components. Using the same profile to host anything outside of WPG is not a supported scenario.
Okay.
So
got it. Thank you. And then another question is the WPS transformation map, can it transform a SOAP message to any format, like a binary CSV file or something like that?
That would depend on the WPS transformation and the WPS service components, what get developed, and the choreography, what has been built within the WPS entire flow choreography. So if at all that transformation map is available, all WPG would do is invoke that service component by using the endpoint URL of the web service which is provided. Whatever happens after the message is passed on to WPS service, that would be as per the choreography performed within WPS. It's essentially the choreography of the service flow. So if that choreography of the service has a transformation map and it does the transformation of the message, then that would be as per definitions given in the WPS. WPG would not have a role to play for any transformations done within WPS.
Does WPS support standard web service security like digital certificate SSL?
No, can you please repeat the question? I didn't get it.
Does WPS support standard web service security like SSL or like a digital certificate?
I would need to double check on that, but I think WPS should have some security level support. I would probably double check on that and then get back to you.
Okay. Can WPS, I'm not sure if I asked this question because I have a whole list. Can WPS be in the same service WPG? No?
No, same service as in?
Same
as in a
server.
Windows service?
Can WPS be in the same server as WPG? Or does it have
no,
to be in a different server?
Yeah, they would need to be on a different server because, as we said earlier, each server, WPG server gets installed in its own profile, which is, I think, a BCG profile which gets created. So the any other additions into this profile, it would not be possible to do that way. So the servers on which WPS and WPG are hosted, the application servers within the VAST ND, those would be different servers. And both these servers would, again, fall under different profiles.
Okay. Is there a way to implement a web service, a destination gateway, like a destination from WPG to invoke a web service without the use of WPS? But like you said earlier before, if we have we don't need WPS or WIV, WNV to invoke a web service? Just the SOAP client in WPG.
So, yeah, let me reiterate what I was trying to tell there. Maybe I can add a few points there. So, essentially, what I was trying to say is, like a web service as such can be hosted, let's say, outside of a WebSphere application server environment. So theoretically, a web service can be hosted on any application server.
Right.
and this this web service URL, the endpoint URL, is what is required to be configured within WPG destination. So essentially, so as to just invoke a web service, maybe some trading partner is able to host it, and all it requires is to WPG to go and invoke this web service. In that sense, the business who owns WPG doesn't require to have a WPS and a WID component. However, in case we need to develop, business needs to develop its own web service and try to host it as well as develop and maintain it, and then yes, so as to come up with that service component, WPS would definitely help in defining the flow for the web service and orchestrate the web service flow. So essentially, to host a new web service or to create a new web service as a service component, WPS is wherein it will pitch in. But in case of just invoking a web service, WPG by itself can invoke a web service which has been hosted anywhere else.
Okay. So if the partners have the web service, they provide us the URLs, and then WPG destination, the gateway, just put that the URL, and then with all the configuration, we can invoke the web service.
Yes, that's right.
And then it's the same thing with the web partner. If the vendor or the external partner, if they want to, never mind, that's a different question. I think I'm pretty much done with my questions.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you to Sonali and Aichi for presenting today.